Mike Pence wants high school graduates to be job ready. Does it make sense? What Richard Murdoch and Muammar Gaddafi have in common, the newest members of the Democratic ticket and the reason why the state Democratic convention is in Fort Wayne. That plus Eric Holcomb's new book and more on Indiana Week in Review for the week ending June 15, 2012.
Ice Miller, proud to support Indiana Week in Review. The path to a successful business has unexpected twists and turns. The legal professionals at Ice Miller are dedicated to guiding businesses along the journey. Experience takes businesses to the top. Ice Miller can help them stay there. Ice Miller, it's a complex world. Be advised.
This week, Republican candidate for Governor Mike Pence made his first major policy announcement. He wants high schools to conduct job training. Mike Pence appeared at a Johnson County Career Center along with employers and educators to establish a tone for his campaign for governor.
We must make job creation job one.
The Republican candidate stood below a pie chart that showed how just 1% of Indiana high school graduates receives a degree with technical honors. At the same time, the Indiana workforce ranks number 3 in the country, he said, in the number of high school graduates. He wants to create a greater emphasis on vocational education.
My point is our schools ought to do a better job equipping and training, and in cases where it's possible, to give certifications and allow for apprenticeships for young men and women that are that otherwise under the current system would have to go on to additional education and training.
Is high school the place for job training? It's the first question for our Indiana Week in Review panel, Democrat Ann Delaney, Republican Eric Holcomb, Leslie Weidenbender, editor at thestatehousefile.com, and John Ketzenberger, president of the Indiana Fiscal Policy Institute. I'm Wish TV State House reporter Jim Shella. And Delaney, is there a need for more vocational education?
You know, I hardly know where to begin with this because it's almost like back to the future. You know, voc ed, it was in my day, okay? The days of kids graduating from high school and going to work in the factory are gone. They've been gone for decades, all right? To do the kind of sophisticated training that he's talking about, you're talking about a gigantic fiscal. You're going to have sophisticated electronic equipment and all in each and every one of these schools. And when you talk to employers about what they want kids that can think and that can reason. We don't want worker drones doing this. One of the fastest growing areas of business in this state are the life sciences. And those are people who can think in addition to being technically trained. So I don't think this is the right approach, and I'd love to see what the fiscal is if he ever decides to share it with us.
Well, he doesn't know what this will cost because what he says is he's going to set up 8 councils and have them come up with alternative curriculums that would be presented in 2014. Is this the way to create a jobs proposal without putting a price tag on it?
Sure, it's one part of the way. We know what Mike Pence and others do know is there is a need. There is a demand. The employers are telling us this. So we need to respond to that and make sure the supply chain is full and ready. Not all the students that graduate from high school are going to go to college. Some are going to look toward a career that this could help in a great way. So I applaud him for coming out of the gate like this. And I also applaud Ann for being concerned about the fiscal price tag on a program.
Which
this is very encouraging to hear.
Apparently he is not, huh?
Well, he suggested that there is no price. He suggested that private industry would help create some of these job training programs. Is that a little pie in the sky?
Well, no. Mm-hmm. The beauty of this is no one quadrant is the same in Indiana. Each has a unique workforce, and the employers know best what that is. So with the employers working with the educators, we know we need to do this. It's just a matter of committing to it.
It's unreasonable to think there isn't a price tag. Certainly, if we're going to go higher tech and more job training in high school, there could be a price tag. And everybody should acknowledge that, including Mike Pence. He doesn't know what that price tag might be. I don't know whether what he's proposing is the right answer or not. But I do think that we have to acknowledge as a state that not every child is going to go to college. Every child should have the opportunity to go to college, although with prices the way they are now, I'm not sure that's even realistic.
This is it's a big change in what we've seen from state leaders in recent years. The push toward college has been dominant.
Well, that's exactly right. But the truth is, on the ground, in many of these high schools, and it's done on a district basis, not a school district, but a, you know, a section of the state, a vocational district, if you will, a lot of this work is being done. The truth is, the jobs that you think of for people with high school graduates' ability are not either there or they're not paying what you would call a living wage. And so the demand from students to go into that field isn't there. There are programs that exist like Dream It, Do It, which is a national program with the Manufacturers Association that try to address this very problem, letting people know that there are alternatives to college, that there are ways to get good jobs and careers without going to college. But I think this needs to be done in conjunction with that rather than as a big program.
You have to admit, don't you, that this is an artful political proposal because you're combining jobs and education.
And no fiscal price tag, and he's doing it in the future. Yeah, it's terrific, but it doesn't necessarily make a good policy. And I'm kind of surprised that he would take such a slap at Tony Bennett and Mitch Daniels, because their education policy for the last 8 years has supposedly solved
all the problems that we have.
But he didn't think of it himself for 8 years, and neither did the governor, who is the business candidate for governor. I don't understand it.
Care to respond to that?
Well, Tony's not been there for 8 years, but Tony,
Mitch has.
Dr. Bennett and Governor Daniels has recognized that we're going to need to continue to aim higher and improve, and this is in that same spirit.
I'm not sure this is higher. I think this may be lower.
Time now for viewer feedback. Each week we post an unscientific poll question in connection with our Ice Miller email and text alerts. This week's question is, should high schools offer job training? Your choices are A, yes, B, no, and C, I thought they did. Last week's question was, is Mike Pence an extremist? 66% said yes, 33% no, 1% said it doesn't matter to me. 2,600 responded. To take part in the poll, just go to WFYI.org/IWIR and look for the poll. What do Richard Murdoch and Muammar Gaddafi have in common? It's a question Democrats are posing this week. In 2009, Richard Murdoch, in his role as state treasurer, tried to block the Chrysler bankruptcy using a New York law firm known as White and Case.
When this same law firm was giving better deals to governments like Libya.
State Democratic Chairman Dan Parker argues that the Murdoch effort was misguided, and he has some new facts to press his case. Documents obtained from the Justice Department show that White and Case was also doing work for the Libyan government led by Muammar Gaddafi then, and the Libyans received a discount. Indiana Democrats have asked Murdoch to disclose what he spent on legal fees, and so far he hasn't produced the documents.
You say Murdoch was paying $1,000 an hour?
That's what we've gotten from an article written about the chief lawyer involved in the case.
What was Libya paying?
$975.
Murdoch, who appeared at GOP headquarters with Congressman Todd Rokita, isn't ducking the matter.
It was possible that you were paying more than Libya?
Sure. I have no idea what the legal issue was that Libya was dealing with.
Eric Holcomb, do you expect to see images of Muammar Gaddafi in Democratic ads in the Senate race?
I doubt it. This has got a short life, I think. We've all played the 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon relationship game, and this is even nuttier than that. This is nothing more than my friend Dan Parker dusting off the old unsuccessful Dan Coats campaign ploy to try to link Yemen with Dan Coats, and it doesn't last very long. Hoosiers don't care about that. They care about the economy and jobs.
There might have been a better link. Dan Coats worked for a lobbying firm that did work for Yemen. This is kind of thin, isn't it?
I don't think that this issue necessarily. I think I don't think the fact that he didn't know how to negotiate a contract with a law firm, which by the way was out of state that he hired, I don't think that by itself is fatal. But what I think is using taxpayer money to try to scuttle the loan program to Chrysler and GM, which the Manufacturers Association, I might add, was all in favor of, and which saved and preserved 150,000 Hoosier jobs. He tried to close that down, and that is a campaign issue.
Chrysler is going to be a big issue, and this is maybe one way to keep it alive, but
it's weak. It's weak, and it's beneath Dan. It's a bad way to go about it. I think Ann makes the salient argument, and to try to cheapen it by, you know, making a bad attempt, a weak attempt at bringing it forward by making that kind of a link is ridiculous.
He just can't bargain, that's all. He's the treasurer.
I think it makes reporters and others sort of look the other way and think that they're not making valid arguments, and maybe the next time we don't have to pay that much attention. I mean, I agree with John. I think it takes this argument in the wrong direction, where Ann's right. There is a very important basic issue here.
But it makes you stop and pay attention initially. I mean,
No, it's dumb. Yes, it's dumb. It's attention-grabbing and beneath
Ann. Jim covered the story.
Well, sorry,
so,
Jim.
So, you know, you've got to watch this, John.
Y'all are talking about it. The Indiana Democratic Party this week also launched ads in response to the ones from a group with ties to Karl Rove that attacked Joe Donnelly. The new ads attack Senate candidate Richard Murdoch.
Think Tea Party or Richard Murdoch will work with both parties to get things done? Hardly.
To me, the highlight of politics, frankly, is to inflict my opinion on someone else.
And here's what Murdoch wants to inflict on us. He says Social Security is unconstitutional, wants to cut Medicare by $200 billion, and give more tax breaks to Wall Street.
Inflict my opinion on someone else.
Had enough.
That's the first half of an ad. The second half is a Joe Donnelly positive. John Ketzenberger, will this race be nastier than the Republican Senate primary?
I think it will. I think that meter will get pegged, and it'll probably be pegged well before Labor Day, which would be the traditional time for this kind of thing to start. We're on that glide slope, and I think it'll be Katie bar the door, to mix my metaphors.
Yeah. This it's allowed. This was an ad paid for by a Democratic campaign committee, but it was authorized by Donnelly.
Yeah, it was the Donnelly campaign that let everybody know that it was going to be out there. I was very surprised. I was very surprised that they would come out of the gate negative at this early, but also that they would do it before, I think, as we've all talked about before, before they spent some time introducing Joe Donnelly to those parts of the state that really don't know him at all.
Which is most of the state.
Yeah.
Well, they do that in the last part of the ad,
but
it's the Murdoch stuff that they're trying to get your attention with.
Agree. This is highly unusual for a candidate who's running statewide to come out of the gate and attack, use a hit piece to try to paint his opponent without introducing yourself to folks who know very little, if anything, about you.
Yeah, but the difference in this election is that the people out there do know Murdoch, and they don't like Murdoch, and that's a different story. And Murdoch, remember, one of your Karl Rove groups, attacked Donnelly first.
Well, that's true, but it wasn't Murdoch. But are you saying you want to make this a referendum on Murdoch?
I'm saying that the potential is out there to make this a referendum on Murdoch, both because of the hard feeling among moderate Republicans that Richard Lugar was treated as shabbily as he was, mm-hmm. and those ads that are attacking Joe Donnelly are the same ones they used on Richard Lugar.
I think the potential is to have him
be the issue, yes.
The funny thing about this is a lot of the things they're criticizing Murdoch for are things that I'm not sure a lot of Hoosiers are going to be as upset about as Democrats think they are.
Well, but
Social Security is unconstitutional. You don't think they're upset about that?
But he also, if you get behind, birth control
shouldn't be covered in private plans. Cancer shouldn't be covered in private plans if the employer doesn't want it.
They're trying to get a Tea Party label attached to Richard Murdoch.
I
don't think
you
that
ripped
hurts
his
him.
Hair. This TP right there.
Well, he's. Is he trying too hard to avoid that label? He keeps saying that the Tea Party was the reason why he won the primary, but he's not a Tea Party candidate. he's a mainstream candidate.
The first ad out of the gate Joe Donnelly approved is an attack ad because he doesn't want to talk about his record. He doesn't want to talk about his support for Nancy Pelosi. He doesn't want to talk about Obamacare, and he doesn't want to talk about the spending that's bankrupting this country. His record. And Richard Murdoch is, people do know him, you're correct. He was elected statewide. He performed well in Joe Donnelly's congressional district, and he'll do well
statewide.
Again.
He wasn't elected statewide. Nobody knew who
as
he
treasurer,
was when he was elected. No. They didn't know who he was. They voted Republican, and he was
this
the person.
The epitome
he
of denial.
Was the person on the ballot. Now they know him, but they know him from the campaign to decimate Richard Lugar. That's what they know him from.
I want to answer your question. Richard Murdoch is a Tea Party guy. I don't understand why he's running away from that. I don't think that hurts him in Indiana, and he's doing everything he can to try to disconnect with I don't get that at all.
Well, he's trying to have it both ways, isn't he?
He's not
rejecting the Tea Party. Right. He's giving the Tea Party credit, but at the same time, he's saying I'm mainstream.
And he fears the notion that's out there that if he is Tea Party, then moderate Republicans won't vote for him. And I'm not sure that's the case either. An awful lot of moderate Republicans are going to have to peel off and go Democrat. If they stay home. And if we get a scorched earth campaign, which it looks like we will, we're going to see a very low turnout in this election.
You're saying Joe Donnelly's got to come with better than a Tea Party label.
Indiana, of course.
I don't think you're right. I think the Tea Party is overwhelmingly viewed as negative in the state of Indiana.
Joe Donnelly knows no Democrat has won statewide since 2004.
Mm-hmm. So what?
How about that?
The Tea Party has risen.
Except maybe Barack Obama.
He doesn't want to talk about that one, though.
Barack Obama did, however. Okay, I got you.
I give you credit for that one.
The Democrats introduced two new members of their state ticket this week. Glenda Ritz is the Democrat running for state school superintendent. She appeared outside the State House with John Gregg for an announcement that relied heavily on criticism of incumbent Republican Tony Bennett.
He stood by while the legislature cut $300 million from our education budget, funding that our children deserved.
Glenda's been an educator for 33 years. She knows the best ideas don't come out of this building right here behind me.
And the Democratic candidate for attorney general is Indianapolis attorney Kay Fleming. Leslie Weidenbender, are they anything more than ballot fillers?
Ooh. Well, unfortunately, they are actually, I think, very strong candidates. But just what you were saying about Richard Murdoch, people in these races don't tend to vote for the people as much as they do for the party. It's not a commentary on those people. It's a commentary on the offices and how people think about them when
they
vote.
There's no question there's a Republican advantage in Indiana, but ballot fillers is tell me this.
They're both running against incumbents. Tony Bennett as superintendent, Greg Zeller as attorney general. Those incumbents have some name ID. They have some proven ability at the ballot box.
Yeah, but Jim, we've seen some ballot fillers. These guys have some
credentials.
They do have credentials.
They're qualified. They're articulate. They're female. Is that what you're reacting to, Jim?
No. Are the Democrats going to make their races a priority?
Depends on how much money is available for it. Because what happens with this, and we've talked about this before, and this is why I don't think that Murdoch's election as treasurer is worth a hill of beans. It is the party, those lower ballot races go the way the ticket goes at the top. There's no question about that. I wouldn't write off the top of the ticket if I were you. And I'm not entirely convinced that Romney is going to be as strong here as everybody seems
I'm
to think
I'm just saying,
he's
though, that's
be.
Why they won't be spending a lot of money on it. They just aren't.
We'll just see.
What do you think of these two?
Well, I'll agree with Leslie that they're qualified and good candidates, but I also think that given the nature of the cycle so far and the fact that a lot of that money is going to get sucked up to the top of the ticket, unless that really performs and causes people to keep going down the ticket Democrat, they're going to have a hard way to win. It's going to be very difficult to win.
Are the Republicans going to place a priority on Greg Zeller and Tony Bennett?
Sure, as we did before. I feel great about Dr. Bennett and Greg Zeller's campaigns at this point and where they'll be in November. I know very little about the two nominees coming out of the Democratic Convention this weekend, but I suspect Hoosiers know even less than that. So it will require a lot of hard work. I'm not surprised they went with them, but we'll focus on what we've been able to achieve over the last 4 years.
Why did Glenda Ritz start out with a message that was almost entirely anti-Tony Bennett?
Because she's pro-education. And if you're pro-education, it's hard to be pro-Tony Bennett. Okay? I mean, they have had more ideas than Carter had little liver pills. And every idea is supposed to fix a problem with no common scheme for evaluating them. I mean, you have a charter school, for example, the Craters here. And what do? They turn around and they name it something else and they operate again. So you don't have the accountability you're talking about. You don't have any kinds of evaluations that show what any of these reforms are meaningful.
I think your last three questions sum it up. The common theme in the last three questions you've asked is Democrats attack, attack, attack. And we expect to be prepared for that.
Oh, I bet you'll be attacking since you've already started against Joe Donnelly.
But I mean, we all know negative campaigning works, but I guess I'm a little surprised at the amount of negative campaigning we're seeing in June. Are you?
I am surprised, but I will say that Glenda Ritz's announcement got a lot more publicity and a lot more stories than
elsewhere.
Did Kay Fleming's because Glenda Ritz had something to say specifically about the person she was running against.
Well, and is it?
I don't know what that says about us.
Is it negative campaigning to point out what you see are flaws in the opponent?
No.
I don't think so. But negative campaigning works because it drives people out of the electoral process.
And leaves those who are dedicated to vote to one candidate or another. All right. For the first time ever, Indiana Democrats are holding their convention outside Indianapolis. It's in Fort Wayne. The Grand Wayne Center will be the setting for the 2012 Indiana Democratic Convention. For the state's second largest city, it will mean an economic boost of $500,000.
Our opportunity here is to showcase our community, be very proud of it.
We developed it from a brainstorm into a reality. It's a very big deal for the city of Fort Wayne.
For the 2,000 delegates, it's a new experience.
And I think this is a sign that our party's willing to look out to these other areas of the state and say, hey, you're Hoosiers too.
Politics played a role in the decision to leave downtown Indianapolis.
The capital city seemed to be the logical place for this meeting, but we understand.
Is it as simple as Indianapolis has a Republican mayor and Fort Wayne has a Democratic mayor?
Probably not that simple.
That's because a sales pitch from Fort Wayne that includes hotel discounts and special events made a difference.
Mayor Ballard and his administration and frankly some of the hotels have taken Democrats for granted.
And Delaney, is this an effort to punish Indianapolis?
No, it's not. I mean, Fort Wayne obviously wanted to have this convention. It means something to Fort Wayne. They were willing to make adjustments and accommodations and cut rates and organize different activities for them. And I think it's great. And John Gregg's exactly right. Indianapolis is not the repository for every good idea in this state. And we ought to do more of this.
I'm told that the Republicans have a rule that says you can't take the convention outside Indianapolis.
Keeps it here, and it's you know, in an effort to keep it for the folks that live in the north and folks that live in the south, it's equal distance to get there. So I don't know if it'll affect their quorum or their attendance. I trust it won't. Fort Wayne has a great convention center and facility, but we'll see. I thought it was maybe they were gonna launch their war on Father since they scheduled this on Father's Day weekend, but I guess I'm wrong about that.
No, we're gonna stick with your war on mothers.
Wow.
Actually, you don't limit it to mothers, it's women in general.
It's gonna get them media coverage that they wouldn't have gotten otherwise just because they're in another location, like the story you just saw.
I think that it has already done that. Now, I will be interested to see how many media are there and how that may change. Although, from what I hear, most of the reporters are going. I do think it's a very long trip for the people who live in southern Indiana. Having said that, I lived in Fort Wayne. I love Fort Wayne. I think it's cool that this is going to be right next to the new ballpark up there. And I mean, I think it's a great move.
They've got buses coming from
Jeffersonville and Indianapolis.
Yeah,
and
so
that makes sense.
Right. Easier.
That makes it easier.
I'm told that the folks in places like Terre Haute and Evansville are watching this closely. They'd like to have their shot. Maybe.
I think that's absolutely right. And if you look at the girls' high school basketball tournament has bounced around from one place to another in the last several years, including Fort Wayne, Evansville, Terre Haute. I think it's a great thing. I mean, it's a state with a lot of good places, and a lot of people don't get to see some of those places, and it's a great excuse to do it. So I just want to know where Leslie's going to take everybody to dinner on Saturday night so I can maybe horn in on that. There's some great restaurants in Fort Wayne.
John Gregg said he was interested in the Coney dogs.
Oh, you got to go to Coney Island.
Yeah, that place
absolutely.
Is great.
Onions and mustard with chili on the side.
Better be ready. All right. Finally, Eric Holcomb has written a book, and it's coming out soon. The title is Leading the Revolution. The cover carries a photo of Mitch Daniels on his motorcycle, and the jacket calls it an inside look on how to get any large organization back on track using lessons learned from one of America's most successful governors. Eric, are you cashing in?
No. definitely not. You can ask my wife. If you're looking for a book with big words, this is not your book. But if you're looking for a quick read with some lessons that have worked here in Indiana, go to www.leadingtherevolution.org.
He's trying to cash in.
Yes. Well, good for him.
He gets a free promo. Yeah.
You know, I wrote the Daniels chapter in a book titled The Governors of Indiana, published by the Historical Society. Do you think that it, granted it's a chapter versus a book, but do you think mine's maybe more objective?
Oh, my God.
Wow. You better switch to decaf early in the day.
Just asking.
We know it's a puff piece. That's okay. That's what he's supposed to do.
Nice
if he
cover.
Did one that was critical, boy, that would make a story, wouldn't it?
It would. It would. Actually, you said it's something of a journal of what's going on.
It's more of a diary over the years. So, I don't know. You wrote a book for dummies. Did you cash in on that?
there's hope. There is hope. There is hope. Good luck with the book.
Yes.
Thank you.
We may not buy it, but good luck.
Yeah. That's Indiana Week in Review for this week. Our panelists, Democrat Ann Delaney, Republican Eric Holcomb, Leslie Weidenbender of the StateHouseFile.com, and John Ketzenberger of the Indiana Fiscal Policy Institute. If you'd like a podcast of this program, you can find it at WFYI.org/podcast, or starting Monday, you can stream it or get it on demand from Xfinity or Bright House Networks. I'm Jim Shella of Wish TV. We'll see you again next week.
Ice Miller, proud to support Indiana Week in Review. Things can go wrong in 1,000 different ways. Businesses need a law firm that knows the 1,000 and first. The team of legal professionals at Ice Miller is committed to helping put the pieces back together. Ice Miller, it's a complex world. Be advised.